Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Luke chapter 2. Let's pick up on verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. And I want you to follow the trail of an angel named Gabriel and see afresh and anew some of the details of Christmas. We'll step behind the scenes and see God at work as we think about the message of this very special angel, Gabriel. Last Sunday, I focused on angels, and I posed to you this question: do you believe in angels? And polls reveal that many people do, some don't. I have a heads up and an advantage because I'm married to Mary Ruth. It's easy for me to believe in angels when I'm married to one that's so much akin to an angel. An angel is simply God's messenger. And they are very, very special creations. Now, if you're here and you're skeptical, let me help you out. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, at the end of that chapter, picking up in verse 16 and 17, the Bible says the things that you can see are less real than the things that you can't see. Because the things that you can see will eventually be rust and dust, and they'll disappear. But the things that you cannot see, those are the true spiritual realities that you want to be connected to. So let's come now to Luke chapter 2 and begin in verse 8. I want you to hear the angel's role, their completing role in the Christmas story. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord, no doubt Gabriel, suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." Let's pray together. Father, in these sacred and holy moments of worship, I pray that you would allow us to come to full spiritual attention so that the story of your birth is not so commonplace that we become immune to it. Lord, may we hear this fabulous story of your incarnation with anointed ears through an angelic voice. Lord, I do pray that you would get me out of the way, and that your Spirit would take your truth and apply it to the receptive hearts of your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me ask you a favor. I want you to take, for the next few moments, your imagination and activate it. And I want you to imagine that I'm not Jay the Black Wolf. I am an angel. After all, a pastor in the book of Revelation is called an angelos, or a messenger of God, so it would be legitimate to call me somewhat of an angel. So activate your imagination, and I want you to follow the trail of Gabriel and learn some new insights into the birth of Jesus Christ. We want to begin right here. Let me explain to those who are novices to this study about angels. Angels are very real creations. They're not graduated human beings. Angels actually are a special created order. And we learn in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, their purpose. They serve as the messengers of God to minister to the saints who have a spiritual inheritance. In other words, we angels, we do God's work. Now, there are an uncountable number of angels. They are powerful beings. One angel in Isaiah 37 is recorded to have slain 185,000 Assyrian warriors in moments. So, my friend, angels are not to be trifled with. They are the powerful agents of God. Now, let me tell you real quickly that I have the best job in the universe because I'm Gabriel, and I am God's personal messenger. He allows me to stand in His throne room in His unbroken glory. It is beyond description. It is beyond magnificent. And I must admit, I've got to guard myself because I have a friend named Lucifer, and somehow his angelic radiance became a point not of humility, but pride. And he took a terrible tumble and took a third of the angels with him. So always be careful and guard against arrogance and pride. I've had the privilege of working with some of the biggest names in the biblical business. Abraham, BFF. Elijah, the prophet. I caught him at a low moment. Here he was, asleep under a tumbleweed. And I brought him a favorite, angel food cake. You'll find the story in 1 Kings chapter 9. It starts in verse 5. Oh, and then you remember, oh, it was a gory moment when Moses invited me to bring a legion of death angels into Egypt. And because of Pharaoh's rebellious, stubborn heart, we brought death into their camp. And multiplied thousands died on that bloody night of the Passover. God sent me to minister to Daniel. The story's in Daniel chapter 6. He's in the lion's den because he's being faithful. He is being persecuted. So don't think that's strange, friends. It's ancient. And I had to clamp down on the jaw of a lion to protect God's servant that night. But far and away, my favorite assignment of all times is here recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Towering above every other assignment was my role in announcing the birth of King Jesus. You remember the story. Let's step back and see the progression. On heaven's chronometer, finally we came to the place where it was called the fullness of time. It's recorded in Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. When everything got just right, when there was the perfect alignment of all the circumstances of human affairs and prophecy, God sent the Savior. Oh, we were excited because God, His Majesty, announced that it was time. We pulled in close, and we had already been making some preparations. The advanced planning team, we thought it would be the most magnificent event in human history. The coming of the king, it would be a coronation. We had it all planned out. There would be the million voice angel choir. Oh my goodness. You can't even imagine that surround sound that a million angels can make when they sing together. We were going to have the finest of everything, the finest of foods, the most spectacular of people. We would have His coming positioned in the great Roman stadium. It would be the most magnificent event, the coronation of the king. But His Majesty said, no, Gabe, that's not the plan. As a matter of fact, Gabriel, I plan to put on a robe of human flesh, travel down a staircase of stars, and enter a young woman's womb. The eternal will become encased in an embryo. The infant will become an infant. We were astonished. We could not believe it. We said, "Boss, that doesn't make sense." He said, "Here is why I am coming. Not to be crowned in a stadium, but I'm coming to a stable. And in that stable, I'll be born so that anybody and everybody can relate to me. No one is left out in my plan." Well, we all agreed, and the sequence began. I want you to see the sequence in this light. I want you to see the sequence as a chain of events, and I want you to become part of the chain. You see, what is an angel? An angel is a messenger of God who is delivering his message. My first assignment was to go to a man named Zacharias. Zacharias was a priest. He was married to a wonderful woman named Elizabeth. They had been fighting an infertility problem for years. They did not understand why God would not give them a baby. God wanted to give them a baby, but it would be in his time. It would be his way. Zacharias was doing his appointed duty in the temple when I showed up. Don't want to be too proud, but I am a rather fearsome looking being. And when Zacharias saw me, he fell to the ground. That's why angels don't have too many theophanies. That's why they don't appear too much, because we throw people off. They began to worship us, and that's exclusively the territory of God Almighty. Well, Zacharias was astonished, and I gave my opening line of, "Fear not, it's okay, pal. Calm down. Let your heart come back to rest. It's going to be okay." I said, "God has a plan. He wants Elizabeth to have a baby that will be the forerunner of his promised Messiah." Zacharias said, "Wait a minute, time out. My wife is old and past the years of bearing a child. How can this be?" And I could tell in his heart he didn't believe the word of God. That's a dangerous place to be. Don't believe the word of God puts you on thin ice, and you can break through in an instant. See, God is real. His word is true. And I had to punish him. I had to take away his voice. I told him that the baby would be named John. And I dematerialized. I was gone. When everybody came thinking that he had died of a heart attack in there, and they found that he was mute, he began to scribble out notes about his encounter with God's angel. Here's my next stop. Here's the next link to a chain. I went to see a young woman who lived in the village of Nazareth, and her name was Mary. Now, let me quickly say that I'm a messenger. I'm in communications. I'm not in management. But when I met that young woman, when I saw her radiant, pure face, I agreed with God's selection, and I believe you would have agreed with it too. She was only 14 years old, just a teenager. And when I appeared before her, I of course said, "Fear not, fear not." It's an overwhelming experience to meet God's angelic being. She took a deep breath. She calmed down. She looked intently into my face. And I told her that she had been selected to bear the baby that is the Son of God. She immediately protested. She said, "How could that be? I've never been with a man. I'm a virgin." And I said, "This transaction will be of God. This will be a divine conception, and your baby will be the very Son of God." And she stood up. She came to an attention like a soldier, and she said, "You are seen God's servant. Be it done to me as you have described." She embraced the assignment. She surrendered herself to be God's agent. Let's go to the next link in the chain, because she's been engaged to a man named Joseph, and Joseph is upset. He thinks that he's been jilted. he thinks that Mary has been unfaithful to him, and he's going to put her away. So God sent me to Joseph, and I appeared to him in a dream. He was sound asleep, and in that dream, he saw me, Gabriel. He came to full attention, and I, of course, said, "Fear not, it's okay. You see, Joseph, you've not been jilted. Mary is telling you the truth. She is bearing the very Son of God. And your assignment is to join in and protect that child and to provide for her, because you are part of God's plan of the ages to bring His Messiah to this messed up world, to bring His Savior to broken sinners." Joseph said, "Count me in." But here's the ultimate moment. The ultimate moment occurred 9 months later. Just as God had promised through the prophet Micah, David's city is Bethlehem, and this Messiah would be of the family and lineage of David. So they traveled from Nazareth, as predicted, to Bethlehem, the city of David. And when everything was just right, it happened. Now, we did not have that million-voice angelic choir. As a matter of fact, it was just an ensemble. We didn't have the light and laser show, but we did have one star to puncture the darkness of that night and guide some wise men to that stable. And we didn't tell everybody, but we had to tell somebody, so we selected some shepherds. Oh, I wish you could have been there. Those shepherds are really nothing special. I mean, sometimes we glamorize shepherds, but let's face it, what is a shepherd? A shepherd is an animal babysitter. That's hardly a glorious or glamorous task. They watch sheep. And God said, "Go tell them." So here the shepherds were half awake, half asleep, watching those sheep. And I appeared, and I gave my famous line, what is it? "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then I said, "Hit it, boys." And I wish you could have heard. Oh, you think Lauren can sing? You think Chipper can sing? I am telling you, they heard some music that night. The heavenly chorus, the hallelujahs rang. And those shepherds were stunned. And they began to set a new land speed record as they traveled from their fields to the appointed place where that star was shining. And there they found him, wrapped in swaddling clothes, cradled in a cow's trough. There they found him. Their Creator, their Redeemer, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Well, that's the story, my good friends. You've heard it before, but I want you to hear it again. You can deactivate your imagination right now, because I've got a last assignment for you. You see, there is this chain, and the chain goes on. The Bible tells us that God came for a simple reason. We learn in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. People are lost. They're confused. They're wounded. They are broken. They are in desperate need of God's help and salvation. And that's the message of the angels. It's like a chain. That's what God was communicating to Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and the angels. And he's communicating that same message to us. The scripture even declares in Luke 15, verse 10, the angels rejoice when one lost, straying, broken sinner repents, when they turn from their sin and they turn to their Savior. And that's what makes the chain lengthen. That's what makes the chain go on. So here's your assignment. Be part of the chain and then lengthen it. Now, here is your task. It's this simple. Let me break it down in a way you can remember it. Number one, I want you to believe God's word. Believe God's word. This is so fundamental, friends. We learn in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, when you add up the story of the Bible, I mean, it is fabulous, it is fantastic, but some people discount it. It's too far-fetched. They can't believe it. Do you know what the story is all about? It's all about God's love for us, His love that propelled Him from heaven to earth, His love that compelled Him to put on a robe of human flesh so He could personally communicate to us His great, immeasurable, unbreakable love. That's what it's all about. And so you got to believe it. You got to believe His word. And then secondly, you must receive, after you believe His word, you must receive His gift. What is His great gift? Romans 6:23 says, for the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Once you receive the truth of His word, then you believe Him and you ask that He come into your life. And once He does that, what do? Then that's the last part. You achieve His purpose. You believe His word. You receive His gift. You achieve His purpose. And His purpose for you is this simple, my friends. He wants you to be part of that chain and keep passing it on. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, I thank You for this marvelous time of the year. I thank You for Christmas. It seems like every year it comes just in the nick of time. Lord, we are in desperate need of Your help and Your hope. Father, I pray that this simple, imaginative angel's message would capture hearts afresh and anew, that we would hear again Your good news message to every one of us, Lord. Call us to believe in You. Call us, Father, to receive Your gifts, the gifts of Your Spirit, the gifts of serving. Call us, Father, to achieve Your task of lengthening Your chain. And I pray for that in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.